All right. Anybody have a blessing you want to share this morning? Any blessings to share? Gary, I'm going to ask if you've got a blessing. If we can turn this mic on, Brad. It was Glenn's mic, and I'm going to ask you to come up here so that we can hear it.
Morning.
Morning.
We were all, my entire family got blessed because we got four pairs of free shoes yesterday.
Wow.
We went for Arto's, put in our orthotics to put in our shoes. And the orthodontist, she has a plan, chiropractor, orthodontist anyway. She has this program where if you get the orthotics for her, she gives you a slip and you get a pair of free shoes from the shoe factory. So we all went for free shoes.
Yay!
And on top of that, our orthotics. They're covered by my insurance, so in the end, nothing's costing.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. That is a huge blessing. Amen. Noelle, you want to come up here? Noelle, can you come up here so I can use the mic with you? You can turn me down a bit. Okay. You're welcome.
Last week, I went to Laundromat to wash my clothes, and I met Mike, and I had
Hi, Mike.
This journal to read, and I show the journal to him and told him, do you know, I know this guy, I was this morning with him, do you want to read a little? And he took the journal and read a little, and we start to speak. And then I invited him to come to church and see this man. And here he is here this morning.
All right.
And I thank God for that.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. Pastor Ace's comics are available if you'd like to use them in that manner. Mike, we want to officially welcome you. We're glad you're here this morning. God bless you. Yes, he does. And you folks have been before, Leonard and Leonie. Nice to have you with us again. They are, the core church is under the head of Independent Assemblies, and they are with the Independent Assemblies. General Secretary?
General Secretary.
Yes. Welcome. We're glad you're here this morning. Keeping an eye on us. Amen. No pressure. Anybody else got something you'd like to share?
I run, but I'm not that good.
Oh. All right. Come on up here.
Okay. Well, as true as always, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
And we're looking for a place to live. And moving in with my friend.
Okay.
A small house in Kensington. And versus all the money, I pay like over $1,000 a month. She only wants $400.
Praise the Lord.
So I can get my teeth fixed.
Oh, bless your heart. We praise the Lord with you about that. God bless you, Diane. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? Doreen, you do have to come up here. You can do it. You can do it. So much has been happening in your life, eh?
Yes.
It's awesome.
Okay. As everyone knows, I broke my arm about a year and a half ago and had to have surgery. I sued the school board because I fell on their property.
I never knew that.
Yep. And they told me it would take...
I'll hold this for you.
2 or 3 years for anything to come of it. But this week I got a call from my lawyer who said that they wanted to settle, and I am getting more than double what I was hoping for.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Awesome. So, awesome. Yeah. And so, like, what else has been happening? Are you free to share that about your family? Look how I moved that mic away so you can't hear. Okay.
William, my grandson, was having a really hard time and with anxiety and addictions. Last week he had a hard time. He would have a breakdown, and they would take him to the hospital, and then they kept sending him home saying he was fine. And finally he had a bad one. Manuel went and helped, and they took him to the hospital. This time they kept him, they admitted him, and they have plans for him to go probably this week to a center in Toronto that will provide a lot more care for him and monitor him and watches. So the only thing is he has to agree to go. And he's only 15 and he's troubled. He's never been one to be away from home. So we're praying, and we prayed on Wednesday that he would have the wisdom and the strength to say yes, he would go. And I looked at my phone and got a message from his mom saying he had agreed.
Awesome. To go. Amen. So, yeah. Praise the Lord. So, amen. Okay. Amen. Thank yeah. You. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Dorothy, come on down.
Well, we went to our party across the street playing bingo, and I was sitting beside Loretta, and she won two times, and she goes, if I win again, I'll give you the prize. And I was like, right on, and she won again. I was like, yes. And then she won again, and I, So then this lady was sitting beside us that we never knew, and when she won again, she gave the prize to the lady we didn't even know.
So awesome.
Now we got a new friend.
That's right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good stuff's happening at the Dream Center across the road. Kimberly. If you can speak loud. Okay. Amen. Nice. Yeah. 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 Amen. Amen. That's awesome. Amen. Amen. And Sandra, you and Brian say that your son is home. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. It's that, it really is that next generation that we pass the baton to. And whatever, it doesn't mean they're going to be pastors or anything like that, but we pass the baton of faith to them. Amen. And we pass the anointing on to them. And there is an anointing on your family, you know, and so we're just going to keep passing that baton and keep praying. Amen? Jody.
Do I need a mic?
Yeah. We don't want to miss anything, though, you know.
So, not always a complainer, but so you might not know that I do have back pain and leg pain and that sort of thing. So about a month ago, I started going to physio, and 2 weeks ago, I had really, it was just a bad week. Everything hurt. I had done a little too much at home, and it was like physio was, it was just pain management. And last Sunday, I did the doubleheader at church and
yes.
Went up for healing, and I felt just different and that God was doing something. And the next day at physio, we weren't doing pain management. I got to actually
praise
exercise
God.
Muscles. And I feel like there's just been a shift.
Amen.
And
amen.
While I was sitting in the chair where they're attaching things to my muscles, and I was thinking, I just feel like it was God just saying that there was something, like that I needed to change my chair at home, because I have a home office, and I needed a better chair. And I go home, and I'm looking at Staples, and I'm looking at the chairs, and I'm like, what I really need is a lot of money. And like for what I needed. And I was looking at it, and I'm like, don't be hasty and just think about it tomorrow. So while I was getting the kids ready for school, I went back on the website, and the chair that I thought I should have was that morning 50% off.
Awesome. Praise the Lord. Amen.
So it's been good. Like, and physio again was good on Thursday, and I get to actually exercise, like, and feel the burn, and it feels good.
Awesome. That's great. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. All right. Thank you. We just appreciate you sharing. When you share, then it helps us to be able to understand. You know, we have the prayer calendar. I hope you all got the May prayer calendar, because they're available for us, and we try to do it a little different every month for the prayer calendar, just to keep us on our knees, on our toes. And so as you hear these people's testimonies and their sharing of blessing and stuff like that, please remember to pray specifically for the need. Jody, too. Yes. Where is Tammy? Oh, with the kids, yeah. Yes. Amen. Yeah, that's great. Amen. All right, so are you ready for the word this morning? Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I also want to mention, you remember Gilbert Holloway, who spoke here one morning? His wife, Beatrice, has been taken into the hospital. And so if we could just take a moment and just pray for her right now. Father, we just thank you for this awesome couple who has spread the seed of your word across this nation and into foreign countries. God, we just lift Beatrice before you this morning as she's in the hospital seeing a specialist. We just speak your healing and your health. We know that she is a woman who believes and has faith for healing. And so we just ask, we just want to join our faith along with hers this morning, Lord God. And we speak healing. We speak your peace of God that passes all understanding into Beatrice's life this morning. And we pray your blessing, guide the hand of the doctors, Father God. And we just are believing for extraordinary miracles to happen. Just like we sang this morning, God, you move in the miraculous. So we're asking you to do it on behalf of Beatrice. Father, we also pray at the preaching of the word this morning. We ask for your anointing to come, Holy Spirit, that you will put me in a large place, Lord Jesus, and that I thank you for your precious word, that no word spoken by God is without power. And so we are just open vessels this morning to receive your word in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. All right, I want to talk to you this morning about thankfulness. What's the big deal? I think one of the most important things that we can develop as Christian is thankfulness and a grateful heart. Thankfulness will influence our lives and the lives around the people around us more than almost anything else. It affects every part of our life if we can positively cultivate that thankfulness. For the Christian, thankfulness is a big deal. In fact, it's not an option. It should be a quality that defines us to the world. And when we're thankful, it causes joyfulness to rise in our heart. And joy, as we know, is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And oftentimes that's what attracts people to us, is that we have the joy of the Lord. And that is catapulted as we are thankful to the Lord in everything. In our Bible study and our prayer time prelude, we talk about the amazing things that God has been doing. Just on Wednesday nights, he's doing absolutely amazing things. And I want to let those of you who aren't there, not able to come, don't want to come, this is like a warning, okay? Because those of us who are in that prelude are going to be leaping out in ways that this church has not seen before. Amen? And because the Holy Spirit is just doing miraculous, amazing things in there. People, almost without exception, are having visions. They're hearing from God. We're sharing what we're hearing from God. And it is really quite remarkable, if I can say that. And so one of the things that we talk about was the need to share the small things, I put small in quotations, that we see God is doing and how encouraging it is just to see what we would consider a small thing and how someone else, maybe we don't even see it, but somebody else sees that and we're like, oh, that is so awesome. And we just begin to thank the Lord for those small things that he's doing, because thankfulness and sharing what God is doing is a big deal, because it ignites our faith. It reminds us of the incredible things that he's doing in our lives. Sometimes we get caught up in what we think God is not doing. And we need to change our focus. We need to hear and see like heaven hears and sees. And we need to begin to thank him and praise him for the small things that we see happening in our lives. And it can cause life and it can cause revival around us. It sparks revival when we see notable answers to prayer. Revival in us, which has to come first. If we want revival in our nation and in our city, then revival has to come in you and me first. Amen? We can't have revival out there if it doesn't happen in here. And if it doesn't happen in here, in ourselves, revival isn't going to happen. And so my mom was for nearly all of her life, she was in a mainline denomination, and then the Holy Spirit began to move in her heart in a way that she, after being in denominations that don't necessarily believe in the gifts of the Spirit or the gift of praying in tongues. My mom was in a small prayer group within that church because, I'm going to go on some Holy Ghost rabbit trails this morning. Is that okay? And so we were in this church, but the pastor had received the gift of speaking in tongues, and he shared it with a few people. He got quite a bit of flack about it, and eventually, you know, they didn't want him as their pastor anymore. But it just, you know, what's happening in the pastor's life can happen in the congregation's life, because that's just how God does things. And so many people in that congregation, I say many, five or six, began to believe and ask for the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. And then we had this little pocket group there, and we would pray together, and we would pray in the Spirit together. We pray in tongues together. And I can remember the first time I've ever been involved in a tongue and interpretation. Maybe I told you this, but a friend was praying, and she prayed and burst out in this tongue, and somebody else gave the interpretation of that. And I was so excited. My friend and I were so excited. We just kept hollering, "Oh, praise the Lord, that's so awesome. Thank you, Jesus." And my mom, when we were driving home, she said, "I couldn't even hear what the interpreter said. You and your friend were so loud in there." But my mom was so brought up in this very mainline denomination, and probably at the age of like 75, she received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of praying in tongues, and it just set her on a whole different being able to hear from God and getting prayers answered in a whole different level. And so she eventually left that church and went to what you and I would know as a full gospel church, a church that believes in the gifts and believes in speaking in tongues. And so she started going there. And then she started to share with me that her new friends that she had received, she said, when we get together, she said, we don't just talk about everyday life. We talk about things that God is doing and what God has done in our lives. And she said it was life to her. Her other friends would get together and they would talk, but they would just talk about stuff, you know. And it's not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but when you come into the fullness of the Holy Spirit, there's something inside of you, isn't there, that just you just want to glorify God and you just want to thank Him and talk about Him. And so that's the place where she was at. And as they began to share small things that God had done, little things that God does in our lives is worth sharing. Amen? And as we share those things, it sparks life within us. And the more we talk about it, the more we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so this sparked a new love and a new passion for the Lord Jesus. So as you and I talk about the things that He is doing in our everyday lives, let's remember to share those things. Even when we're sharing with friends that maybe have not yet embraced the Lord, share some of these things. And at our Wednesday prayer times, I want to tell you, it really is remarkable and quite amazing. And revival is not coming. Revival is here in our nation. And we listen to some of the prophetic voices that God has given over our nation, we hear a different sound. It's like we're not praying for revival anymore. We're just believing that it's here already. And to revive means to live again. And so even us as believers, amen, need to have some life poured into us again. And thankfulness, because it's a big deal, can play a major portion in our lives. The Bible teaches us that gratefulness or thankfulness is the norm for Christian living. Amen? It's normal to be excited, hot, on fire for Jesus Christ. Anything less is abnormal according to the Word of God. Scripture says in James that when we fall into various trials, we are to what? Count it all joy. There's thankfulness involved in that. So when we fall into these trials, we're told to count it all joy. And without thankfulness, without the joy of the Lord, I want to tell you, Christianity would be unproductive. It would be boring. Amen? It really, really would be. And our spiritual growth is stunted if we do not come into that place of being thankfulness. So at our prelude, as different ones shared about what they had seen God do, we were encouraged to see things differently. And Brock shared about the Butter Tart Festival that we had here, which was great and wonderful, you know. But we had like 900 plus people come through these doors. And Brock was saying, you know, because we prayed beforehand, we got together as a team and Rebecca just led us in just a quick little prayer of God's blessing. And there was nothing that happened with 900 plus people in this auditorium. They came in, there was no fights over butter tarts, you know, there wasn't no grumbling nor complaining, right? And it made me realize, wow, I didn't even I didn't even give God credit for that, because you just see these people coming in. We're thankful for the finances it brought. But in the midst of it, in the midst of nearly 1,000 people in this place, nothing went wrong. In fact, the cleanup was remarkable and amazing. It just went so quickly. And so I was reminded, God, that's like a small thing. I mean, it's not. It's a big thing. But it's just a small thing that sometimes we just forget about giving God thanks and being grateful. God, I'm grateful. Because with all those different people coming in, how many of you know anything could happen? There were no accidents. Nothing happened because of the blessing of the Lord. And we were reminded on Wednesday night to thank God for those things. And because we're grateful to the Lord. Once you're thankful to the Lord, it's like something in your heart opens up, doesn't it? It's like the Grinch who stole Christmas, you know, and your heart grows how many times bigger if we can just learn to be thankful. And we have to be proactive about it. And sometimes being proactive is hearing somebody else thank the Lord that I got a new apartment and my amount is going to be reduced. We thank the Lord with you for that. Amen. We thank the Lord for a new pair of shoes. We thank the Lord for these things. And it encourages us. Amen. Encourages me anyway to remember that God is in the small things as well. And sometimes those small things are just pivotal for bigger things that God is going to do. And so it is a big deal. And we need reminders of what our prayer of faith has done. As we're praying for your son, we realize that is an absolute miracle. I mean, bless God for the healing miracle, but bless God for that someone's heart turning back to God. That's absolutely awesome. And doesn't it encourage us to believe for our families? Believe, God, that nothing is impossible. You are an amazing, incredible God. And so it's wonderful to be reminded as we pray the prayer of faith, and we begin to see things differently. Listen, there is a whole lot in heaven that God wants to bring down to the church and to you and I. Heaven is not just this wonderful little place with streets of gold. Do you know that when Noah built the ark, he saw and was given the blueprints that were in heaven were downloaded into Noah. He saw that. That's what was in heaven. And so there's a blueprint for your life and my life in the heavenly realm. And part of plugging into that and receiving those things is to have a thankful, grateful heart for the things that God is doing. And so as we sing, we declare the goodness of God. Amen. That's what's coming out of our mouth. That's our declaration. And we say yes to what God wants to do in our lives. Amen. We just say yes, God, because it's awesome, and what's up there needs to come down and refresh and revive our lives. When I was first saved many years ago, I was desperate to find the will of God. I was getting into palm reading and reading of rings. You know, you take your ring off, you give it to somebody, and there's vibes and all that garbage. I had a stronger word, but I won't say it. And I was starting to get into that because I just, at 16, 17 years old, I wanted to know the direction for my life. I wanted to know what the future was. Where am I going to be? I'm this horrible, miserable biker chick, you know, only happy if there were drugs and alcohol involved. And because my mom was praying and the church was praying, God was stirring in my heart. But my mom didn't see the small things. In fact, what she saw was me getting worse and worse and worse, because God had such a bigger plan than just saying, saving one young girl. Amen? The plan was so much bigger. And I wanted to know, once I got saved at about 21 or 22 years old, I wanted to know God's will. I wanted desperately to know what God's will was. And so I began this trek going, reading through the Bible, finding out things, and I came upon 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Let's say that together. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. I closed my Bible and thought, I don't need to look anymore. I know at least one part of the will of God for my life, and that is to give thanks in, not for, in everything, give thanks. Not for everything, but in the midst of everything. The command of scriptures, not a suggestion. It's not, if you do this, this will make your life better, so why don't you try it? It's a command of scripture that in everything, give thanks. Give thanks to God in everything. And so I think that's pretty straightforward. You don't need a degree. You don't need to go to Bible school to figure that out. In the midst of every situation we are faced with, we are to be thankful. We are to be thankful. So how? How is that possible when the really awful stuff happens? When I don't feel like giving thanks? Because we mix up giving thanks in every situation and for every situation. So we say, well, I can't give thanks for this person getting sick. I can't give thanks for what's come upon me. I can't give thanks for it. And so we put a period and we stop there instead of realizing that what God is requiring from us is that in the midst of those circumstances that we give thanks in everything. We don't just give thanks, you know, with a bad attitude and it's like, okay, so I've done my duty, but we come to the place where can we really see the Holy Spirit comforting, leading, guiding in the midst of the situation and working all the bad stuff, working all that stuff out. And so in those times, with a grateful heart, we acknowledge who He is. And the more we know Him, the more thankful we are. Amen? The more I know God and the more I know God's ways, the more thankful I can be. Because I know He's going to work this together for good. That's what the scripture says. And He's got a history with me. Amen? He's never failed me yet. Never failed me yet. So God, just do it again. You've never, ever failed me yet. And so when thankfulness breaks out from us, true thankfulness, even for just one little thing, it's like a wedge and it opens up our ears and our eyes to hear and to see what God is up to in our lives. So right about now, you might want to just check your phone, take a nap, or tune me out. But please don't, because I think we need a refresher in being thankful and having a grateful heart. In the Hebrew language, it's the word, I don't know how to pronounce it, it's YDH. So that's one of the main words in the Old Testament Hebrew for giving thanks. And it comes up 102 times in the Old Testament, and it's used 72 of those times, and here's a definition. Acknowledging what is right about God in praise and thanksgiving. 1 Chronicles 16:34. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So in the midst of my bad situation, I can still know God is good. Nothing will ever change that. God is good. He's so, so good. And so I can give thanks to God because, God, I know You're good. What I'm going through, what I'm about to go through, it doesn't look pretty. It doesn't look good. But You are good, and I give thanks to You for that. Amen? And then in the Greek, it's the word eucharisto, which we know liturgical people recognize that word as Eucharist. And it's a term that comes from Jesus giving thanks before eating the Last Supper with his apostles. And it means to show oneself grateful, to be thankful, and to give thanks. So we already know when to give thanks. When do we give thanks? 1 Thessalonians. In everything. Say everything. In everything, give thanks. Oftentimes, we give thanks to God after our prayers are answered. I've got this answer to prayer. God has done what we've been praying about. And so it's just easy to give thanks to God. It's not a sacrifice of praise or anything. It's just God did what he said he would do, and we're very, very thankful. And so if you have your scriptures somewhere on you, on your device, turn to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel, if you can't find it, there's called a, what do you call those things at the front of your book that tell you where all the books are? There's a little index at the front of your book. So, Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, chapter 6. So, I think, I'm going to read from verse 18. A little bit of background. So there's a plot against Daniel. The plot against Daniel is Daniel and his friends were believers in Jehovah. And they had a discipline in their life that they would pray to God three times a day, and it was not hidden. And then the king's men, this is the, grade 2 version, the king's men did not like that. And so they made this decree, and their decree was, let me find it here, all the governors and all the kingdom's administrators, satraps, counselors, advisors have consulted together, Daniel 6, verse 7, to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Was this written last week, yesterday? Kind of seems like we're going in that direction, doesn't it? And so now, O king, establish the decree, sign in writing. You remember the law, the Medes and the Medes and the Persians. Got that mixed up there. It was law, according to the law in verse 8 of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. Once this is law, there is no Supreme Court. This is the Supreme Court. This is the end. It can never be. You can never stand against this law. And so King signed it, and the decree was written. Then let's go on to, for time's sake, we won't read the whole thing, but Daniel went, he assembled himself together, just like he did before. When Daniel knew the writing was signed, so he knew the decree that had gone out. And verse 10 says, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times a day. He prayed and gave thanks before his God. Now here's the other part, as was his custom. So he hears this decree. His choice is, am I going to do this? Am I going to stop praying to God? Am I going to stop with my window open? This is how I do it all the time. So am I going to stop that? I can go in my little prayer closet. I don't have to say anything out loud to God. I can just go in my little prayer closet, right? I can just go there and nothing will happen. And nobody will know any different. But as was his custom. And we're living in a day, ladies and gentlemen, where we have to keep our customs. We cannot let the decrees that are passed down sway us from what our stand is on biblical things. On biblical things. We have to stand firm. We cannot waver. We can't. And so Daniel went and he did just what he was normally doing, and then the men assembled and found Daniel praying. But Daniel was not only praying, Daniel was praying and giving thanks. He wasn't giving thanks for the decree. He wasn't giving thanks because, well, hallelujah, I guess I'm going to be thrown into the lion's den. No, he was giving thanks because of who his God was. Because God is a great and awesome God. You sang it this morning. We sang it with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our emotion. We sang that God is a great and awesome, awesome God. And that is a great, great thing to give thanks to God for. And you probably know the rest of the story, starting at verse 18. Now the king went into his palace, spent the night fasting, and no musicians were brought before him, and also sleep went from him. Oh, God help Christians to come into this place when these decrees are written, that sleep doesn't come for us because we're concerned about what's happening in our nation. Can't just go to sleep as usual. And then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel, shut the lion's mouth so that they... Listen, this isn't just a little Sunday school story. This historically, this happened. This is real. And the anointing that is behind that, the spirit that's behind that, is the same God for you and I today. Amen? He shut the lion's mouth. Have not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. And so Daniel was taken up out of the den. No injury whatever was found on him because he believed his God. That's what he was giving thanks for. Not that, I don't even know if he prayed. We don't know what the prayer was. Was the prayer that God would rescue him? What was the prayer? Today, all I care about today is that with that prayer, he gave thanks to God. And God heard and God honored his prayer. That's why we can pray a prayer of thanksgiving in frightening, terrible situations. Jeremiah 29:11. Some of us are, it's our favorite verse. We have it tattooed on our skins. We have it plastered on our walls. We have it underlined in our Bibles. What does it say? I know the plans that I have for you. We quote that. We memorize it, and it's good. It's a life verse to so many of us, but do you realize it's sandwiched in between dark days. Jeremiah 29:11. If we were to read 29:11 to 15, we'd find at the end that all of this happened. I can say, I know, God, I trust in you. I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. We know that because they give thanks to God and because his incredibleness in our life. So if we included more thanksgiving early in our prayers, before the answer comes, our petitions would have greater force. Now, I'll just let that settle in on you for a little bit. Maybe it's going to rock your theology a little bit. I'm all about rocking theology. I'm all about, let's think about this. Aren't my prayers good enough, quote, strong enough, if I pray and not give thanks? I say no. Because if I can give thanks in the midst of my trouble, in the midst of what I'm asking God for, I'm asking God for finances, healing. I'm asking God for my family. And yes, we lament before him. We cry out to God. But in the midst of that, we bring our petitions with thanksgiving, the scripture says, to the Lord. Why is that more powerful? Because there's faith attached to it. Right? If I can thank God in the midst of this trial, there's a seed of faith there. I might not be saying a whole lot of powerful stuff about what I feel God is going to do about this and this situation. But if I can bring thanksgiving into that prayer, that means that there's some faith there. Faith in God. Not faith in my prayer being answered. Faith in God, who is a God who answers prayer. Right? And so that's why we pray the prayer of thanksgiving. We bring our petitions and our prayer requests before the Lord with thanksgiving. Because there's faith attached to it. I can ask God for a whole lot of stuff and not have any faith attached to it. I can ask God for finances, I can ask God for healing. Remember, I always talk about my knee that God healed. And with thanksgiving, God, I thank you. I spoke to my knee, you be healed. If it tries to act up now, if I walk too much, that's not going to happen. You stop that. I'd speak out loud on the street. I talk out loud to my knee when it starts to act up as I'm taking a walk. No, you are not going to do that. It doesn't matter. What does it matter that I'm talking out loud and somebody passes me or hears me? They don't know that I'm not listening to something on my little iPods or whatever. And then nobody knows except God. And then I say, God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for healing me. Thank you, God. Amen? And so my prayer might not be this big, oh, Jesus, I know that this knee is healed. And God, this knee is healed. But my faith comes in line when I say, thank you. Because you are a God of your word. You are a God that is going to do it. And so God responds clearly. Remember, always remember that God responds to faith. Amen? He responds to faith. You sang this morning. You made a declaration and a decree this morning. That's what we do when we sing the songs. They're not just happy little songs to make me happier. They are declarations. And we sang a lot of declarations this morning. But one of the things you sang was, this is my house, and in this house, I will grow. In this house, I will grow. And as we declared and decreed that, God, this is where you've planted me. And so in this place, I will grow, I will grow, I will grow. And that's our decree and our declaration. And so because we decree and declare those things with thanksgiving, we can grow. We begin to grow in the Lord. Nobody can, you're not allowed to leave this place and say, I didn't get anything out of church this morning. You can't do that. If you do, it's because you're not giving thanks to the Lord. God, thanks for the word this morning. I was reminded this morning that I should be thankful. I didn't get a whole lot of other stuff, what Pastor Joy said, but I'm going to be thankful about some things. And the one thing I'm going to get hooked on is one thing. I'm not going to get hooked on giving thanks for my circumstance. I'm not thankful for my divorce. Well, maybe some people are. But I'm not thankful for my divorce. I'm not thankful that my marriage failed. I'm not thankful that my kids are living in sin. I'm not thankful for. But in the midst of it, I'm thankful. In the midst of that, because you're God and you've got some promises that you made to me, God. That's what I'm thankful for. What happened to you when I was away? I don't even need the Amen cue card anymore. Hallelujah. I need to go away more often, I think. All right, so thanksgiving is an act of faith in the midst of our trial, and thanksgiving is a big deal to God. Notice that when do we pray? When I sit down for dinner, when do I pray? After I've eaten? No, we give thanks before the meal. Philippians 4 says, let's turn there to Philippians. Bible's rustling, I hear, yeah. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, again, a well-memorized verse. Starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. That phrase, the Lord is at hand, in the original language actually means at your elbow. He's right here, right here. Okay. 6, be anxious for what? Nothing. Why? How can I be anxious for nothing? I've got some stuff going on. I've got some issues going on. There's some deals going on in the world, in my life, in my family. So how can I not be anxious? In everything, by prayer and supplication, with what? Because it's a big deal. Why would you tuck that in right there, telling me not to be anxious for anything? You know, I've got this depression, this anxiety, God. You know what I've got? That's not fair that you tell me not to be anxious about these things. Here's how not to be anxious. Prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. There's the faith. Let your requests be made known to God. Here's the result. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and guard your minds. I like that he guards my mind, because it's in my mind the anxiety happens. It's as I think and I mull over these things and I think that this isn't going to happen and this is going to happen. It's in my mind. So I'm glad that when I bring my prayer request to God with thanksgiving, he sets up a guard on my heart and my mind. How does that happen? Because, God, I'm thankful for who you are in my life. I'm thankful for you, God, that you are a great and awesome God. God, I'm so thankful for you that you keep my heart, you keep my mind. God, I'm so thankful to you. Just read the Psalms if you're stuck on what to be thankful for. Listen, the word says that he daily loads us with benefits. I need benefits from my work? Yeah, absolutely. But God daily loads us with benefits. Isn't that awesome? Every day, his mercies are new. God, thank you for your mercies. God, thank you for your benefits. Something that's going to benefit me. Right? Hallelujah. If we want our faith to be strong, we have got to be proactive. And if we develop proactively a life of thanksgiving, if we develop a life of thanksgiving, we will not be critical. Because thankfulness knocks out criticism. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. You know, I don't like the way she dresses. Look at those pants she's wearing today. They look like pajamas. I can't believe that, you know, she never has the same pair of shoes on. Where'd she get all that money for shoes? Stop criticizing. Oh, I don't like the way that you work. This is my desk, my area. I don't like the way that she does that or he does that. I don't like the way that you pick up that hammer. You never put my tools back. Stop criticizing. God, thank you that I've got somebody. Thank you, my pastor has clothes on. Hallelujah. We'd all be praying for inner healing otherwise. But we got to stop complaining about things. Not just complaining, but criticizing. Stop yourself from complaining. Repent. God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I got so critical about that. Sometimes I get quite mean with Pastor Ace, and I have to say, God, forgive me for that. Forgive me. I just get, you know, I'm an A personality, and I just want to go from here to here. And we're driving along, because he's not driving along. So we're driving along, and he's saying, oh, could we just go to, you name the place, Hutch's. Can we just go to Hutch's today for lunch? And I'm like, no, I've got stuff to do. I only have one day at the office. I got stuff to do. And instead of just saying, no, we can't do that. And I have to say, God, forgive me for complaining. In my circumstance, forgive me. I just want to be so grateful, so thankful. So thankful that he still loves me, even if I don't take him to Hutch's. Right? There's so much to be thankful for. Listen, even the way our nation is going, we have the best country in the world. And we have to guard ourselves from criticizing against some of the laws that are being made. They are not right. They are ungodly and they are evil. But we cannot get involved in criticizing and complaining about it. We make our requests known to God who is seated on the throne. You are never off your throne, God. And I thank you for that, God, that you have all this stuff under control. And by my thankfulness, with prayer, supplication, thankfulness, I'm going to change some things. I'm going to change history. Amen? With thankfulness, not complaining. As long as unthankfulness and ungratefulness is an attitude in your heart, you will never be happy. And you will never make the people around you be happy. I realize more than a lot of people that we are absolutely different personalities. I absolutely understand that. I understand that our children can grow up and they can have their own little personality. And in the midst of that grumbling and critiquing, even as little kids, there's a gifting there. Usually the gift of administration is there. But we have to teach our children to be thankful. Because I'm passing a baton to the next generation. I don't care whether you've got kids or not. You're passing the baton to Jody and Noel's kids. You're passing the baton to Brock's kids. And Matt and Madison, you're passing that baton. That's the generation. It doesn't. These kids are looking at you in church. Not whether just their parents are worshiping. Is the whole church worshiping, raising its hands, praising the Lord? Because you know kids get in a place where they can't receive from their parents. Oftentimes when they are in that age group of, 12, and those hormones start coursing through their veins and all that. But guess what? They can go to you because you're cool. You're more cooler than their mom or dad or their pastor. You're cool. And so I can go to you. But guess what? What am I watching you on Sunday morning? Am I watching you on your phone? Am I watching you standing at the back talking the whole time? I didn't want to say that, but I said it. We can express thankfulness to God. Again, Psalm 103, verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Have you ever talked to your soul? Come on, you bless the Lord. You stop this nonsense coming out of your mouth and you bless the Lord. It's easy to do. You turn on a song. Just turn on a song and begin to sing with it. Don't let your mind wander. Begin to sing with it. I want to share with you this morning because of what happens in Prelude and what... Do you notice something different in the sanctuary? It's like something shifted. And it's not only here. God is doing that really all across our nation. So I want to share with you some things that happened when I was in New Brunswick. Because you prayed and remarkable things happened. Remarkable, remarkable things. I will be quick. I really wish you could have been there in person at the conference. Number one, we had so much fun. It was just fun. The word the Lord gave me in there before going was no pressure. No pressure. He said, you can preach these messages that you've already preached. I preached on Elijah the whole time. You can preach those messages. The problem with doing that was every time I'd go over my notes, God gave me something else. Gave me something else, an added thing. And that's a problem when you're trying to jam it into 30 or 40 minutes. But it was quite remarkable. So at the conference, when I have been asked to speak, usually, and I understand, I underline usually, I'm asked to go first. and I went first and shared my testimony. That's because God has given me a breaker anointing. And so I can break through religiosity. I can break through some things. So the leaders don't even know it. They just, you know, say, we'd like you to go first. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay. And I remember and I'm thankful to God for that. And so when we were here, what started my trek on Elijah was that song, There Is a Cloud. And when we sang that song, it was like a prophetic voice to me. And I thought, yeah, there. So I went home and I began studying again on Elijah. But that happened here because we sang that song. We sang it prophetically. I think we sang it a couple dozen times. And that's why sometimes I say sing it again. Because it can't just lay here. It's got to get down into our innermost being, these songs that we sing. You know yourself, you get hooked on a song and you just play repeat, repeat, repeat on your phone or whatever you use for that. And so God gave me those messages here for this church. And it is important to sing prophetic songs, songs that we make a declaration. And I want us to be aware of the songs we're singing and what I am declaring. What am I saying to God? What is my decree to God? What is my decree to the atmosphere and the airwaves? So there was a Saturday conference, then there was a Sunday night, Monday and Tuesday night. In the whole time I spoke preached five messages as I continued on with Elijah. Their theme was overflow. And because they had been praying and interceding, coming together as a group before the conference and a church before you bring a special speaker in, God honored that request for overflow. And we just had an amazing, amazing time. He ignited afresh or breathed afresh on the prophetic call that I have on my life. And I prophesied over the pastor and over his children, good friends of mine, which, you know, it's always kind of I always kind of back up a bit and make sure this is God when it's for someone I know or have known their past. And also, it's the pastor of the church, and here am I, you know, just coming in saying, thus saith the Lord. But there was such a strength, and there was such a confidence. There was no pressure. And there was a strength and a confidence in what I felt and could hear the Holy Spirit saying. And so one of the things that was prophesied about was because they had traveled nationwide across our nation and had not, as traveling evangelists, you're well received in the church, but not well received financially. And so it had been a lifetime of struggle for them financially, as well as always going, always driving. They're singers, so unloading equipment, loading equipment. Your kids are now teenagers. They don't want to come. You have to come. You're part of the worship team, etc. All of those stuff that I'm sure they've gone through. But what the Holy Spirit prophesied over them, that it was not a waste of time, that they had planted seed all across our nation, and that seed was being watered, and that seed was going to grow. And then I had a prophetic word for the worship leader, associate pastor, her name was Stephanie, for her children. And she just wept and wept, and she said, we have had a lot of speakers in, but nobody has ever prophesied over my kids. And that just blessed my heart, because it's just not usual for me to prophesy over that generation. But God is stirring in my heart and my spirit this thing about the passing of the baton. I think that we're going to have a relay race in this church. I think I'm going to get somebody to map out a racetrack. And we're going to have some of you, you know, take that baton. Some of you are looking really scared now. You're going to take that baton as an illustration. You're going to pass it from one to the other, because that's what we're doing as Christians. And not only to our families, some in this room don't have children, but you've still got a baton in your hand, an anointing that God wants you to pass on to somebody else. I'm so thankful for what God did in New Brunswick. It's like the same thing that God is birthing and doing here, he was doing in New Brunswick. I feel like they're like a sister church somehow, that there's this connection with us. And I mean, their worship is awesome. They even sang my favorite song about up from the grave, ain't no grave gonna hold me down. They sang it, and I'm like, whoa, you're singing my song! Because I want that song sung at my funeral as they carry my coffin out. Ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Because it's the truth. It's the truth. So with thanksgiving, we can bring our requests before the Lord. Paul said, every time I remember you, I thank my God. Every time you read your prayer request on that prayer calendar, do you say, God, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for Noelle. I'm thankful for Jody and family. God, I'm thankful for Cindy. I'm thankful. Are we able to be thankful for one another? Or are we still criticizing? So bad. So bad. Ruins our body. It does its toll on physical body. So Paul said, I thank my God always concerning you. This was the Corinth church. You had mega problems. They had big problems. About the whole communion thing. They were coming in and they were eating way too much communion. But he still said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. How? Because I see God in you. I see the Holy Spirit in you. That's why I can thank God. What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? What are you believing God for? Might be just small. What are you believing God for? Your healing? Our nation? What are our prayer and supplication mingled with thanksgiving to God? What are we asking God for? If you're not asking him for much and you can't answer that question, you are not going to get your vague little prayer answered. See, one of the things that I talked about in New Brunswick, I'll tell you this funny story. The speaker in the afternoon got up and she said, can I just take a minute and just play on your keyboard? And so she played a beautiful song and she sang, and I thought, I got to follow that. And then she said, oh, some of my church is here. This is the speaker. Some of my church is here. Let's come up. Could you gather around here? Could you just take a picture of all of us and from my church? And I'm like, what? Then she says, in the midst of her talk, which is great, beautiful, she said, and you know, some of you know my husband. You know he's perfect. I like threw my papers in the air. It's like, what? You can play, sing, write songs. Your husband is perfect. You take a picture of your church at a conference. So, of course, I'm the next speaker. I get up and I said, she was so sweet. She was just so sweet. And many of you that are in the prelude, you know, that's how I feel about Brett Avita. She's just sweet. Right? She's just sweet. And I got up and said, you need to know that I am not sweet. I'm not sweet. I'm going to rock your boat. I'm going to say some things that make you mad. Right? You would not say, Pastor Joy is so sweet. I'm okay with that. I'm not sweet. And that, so then what I did, I said, but I realize where I am today, I might just need some help. And so I unrolled this chocolate and poked with the chocolate, making me sweet in my mouth. Then when I went to church on Sunday morning, they were handing out little candies, and one of the guys who happened to be there doing sound said, maybe you should take two. You could need to be sweet. I'm like, so you preach five times, you prophesy over his kids, and that's all they can say about you. Take two candies. But what are we believing God for? In our families. Oh, my family's great. Fine. My kids love Jesus. They're wonderful. Well, what are you believing God for? What baton are you passing to them? Church, mighty force of God, God's answer to the evil in the world. Core church, what are we believing God for? Are we just going to maintain? Are we going to do this for another 20 years? Or are we going to believe God for a move of the Holy Ghost to come? Are we going to believe God for the lost? Are we going to believe God for deliverance in people's lives? Are we going, people going to believe, are we going to believe God for people walking in and saying, wow, the way that you love each other, that was the mark in the New Testament. The way they loved one another drew people to the church. So I'm asking you, what are we believing God for? Some of it happens right there in that prayer room. I'm thrilled that there's 12 or 13 of us in that room praying, hearing from God. I like walk out of that room and say, who are these people? It's awesome. Speaking out words. People have, I won't go on because you'll think it's you. It probably is. What are we believing God for? We believe God for healing. We believe God for deliverance. We believe God for these things. We believe God for financial blessing. Let's take it up a notch. Let's take it up a notch and believe for each other. Instead of criticizing, oh my gosh, your kid just runs all over the sanctuary. You know what? Then that kid needs prayer. Then I need to hit the floor and pray for that child, not grumble and complain. Father, you would just come and let's get ready to sing that song. God, we're thankful. Wow. I have something specific to be thankful for, and I'm so thankful this morning, God. Thank you. Your love is so great. God, we are people of faith, and we have believed for some specific things. And this morning, we even heard some answers to prayer and some things that we believed for. And you've honored our faith. And you've done, even started to do those things. And we'll thank you when we see the small thing. Because it's not lack of movement. It's like a rose that's opening up. I can't see that happening, but there is movement nonetheless. Even for our nation, we stand back and say, God, but you're moving in our nation, God. Revival is here. You're calling men and women to travail and to pray and to believe for greater things. But God, we want to say, we've heard about revivals, we've read about them, we've heard about people being miraculously healed and set free, and we want to say, do it again, God. We want to say, do it again. We want to thank you for your faithfulness, God. We're grateful. Would you give us a grateful heart, God, and where we've criticized one another. Maybe we're too spiritual for that, we just don't speak to one another. Would you help us with that, God? Help. Reveal those things, God. We bring our prayer with thanksgiving to you. We sing this song with thanksgiving. Do it again. We launch our faith. We take it up a notch in our faith. And we believe for each other, and we believe for our city and for our nation. Let's stand together and let's worship the Lord with this song.